Okay, so
Sorry.
we're going to be talking about the minhag of people to get dressed up on Purim and whether or not there's an issue with perhaps the costumes that they might get dressed up in. But before we get into that halachic issue, let's first talk about the basis for the minhag. Now you'll notice that the first source on the sheet is not a Gemara, it's not a Pasuk in Megillah, it's not a Mishnah, it's not even from a Rishon. And the reason is because the minhag is not mentioned in any Gemara anywhere. It's not even mentioned in any early Rishon anywhere. As we're going to see, there's a kind of, I guess, a kind of a kind of an early Rishon that mentions it, but not one of the major ones. So let's take a look at some of the original sources. So this is Rav Chaim Noe, a relatively late source in the Ketot HaShulchan, and he says, "Mashenagul elbosh partzufim levada Tosfot." There's a midrash that Rashi quotes on the Torah that the Kna'ani Melech Arad, who attacks the Jewish people after Aharon dies, Rashi quotes that he's not really Melech Arad of Kna'ani. He's not a Kna'ani. He's actually an Amaleki. He's really Melech Arad of Amalek, not of Kna'an. Why does it call him Kna'an? Because Rashi says he dresses up. And so, based on that, Rav Chaim Na suggests that the idea of Amalek is that they dress up so that we won't know who they are. So we, in return, because Purim is a day of celebrating the war against Amalek, because Haman is seen as either a genetic or a spiritual descendant of Amalek, so we dress up in turn as we attack them. So, so that's one reason. Another few reasons that are quoted. The Eliyahu Rabbah, major book of Minhagim, so he says that Zecher Mordechai sheyatzah b'levush malchut. Of course, according to the Eliyahu Rabbah, this is not a real reason to get dressed up as outlandish things. It's just to get dressed up like Mordechai got dressed up in clothing of a king. Maharam Chagiz, he quotes over here, says that that just like Hem asu el lefanim, af Hashem lo asa imam el lefanim. Just like Haman and his followers were doing trickery, so too Hashem did trickery, and he went out against them. So we also go lefanim. We hide ourselves. We hide our faces just the way that Hashem hid his face. So that's the idea of hiding. The Kol Aryeh mentions a totally different explanation over here. He says the reason why people get dressed up is that it's like, it's almost like it's a masquerade because you don't want to be identifiable. Why? Because Purim is a day of Matanat Levyonim. You go around collecting money. So dafka, the people who should be getting dressed up, are the people who need the money. It doesn't make any sense for people who aren't going around begging to get dressed up. Unless you say everybody needs to get dressed up so that it's hard to tell who needs money and who's giving out money. But finally, the last answer that's quoted over here, I think, is the one that resonates the most with people. Says just like the nes was melubash b'derech hateva, so we cover our faces. Just like the nes was kind of hidden, so too we also hide our faces as well. There are other answers given for explaining the minhag. Hashem's name doesn't show up in the Megillah, therefore we also hide. It's all pretty much the same root idea. There's another explanation that was given, which is interesting, that many Jews would dress up as non-Jews when they thought they were in danger. And so at the end of the Megillah, when the non-Jews think that they're in danger, so they start dressing up as Jews. So which the Megillah kind of references with the idea that they wanted to be like Jews. They wanted the Jews to like them. So we kind of play with that reversal of roles. Rav Yitzchak Weiss, this is not Rav Dayan Weiss, I think. He says that just like Esav hides his hatred for Yaakov, we also hide ourselves. And he also points out, and this is, I think, this is the most, the only real hiding over here is a reference to Charvona and Eliyahu, which we actually talked about this past Shabbos. In my shir, we talked the minor character Charvona. The Midrash says that Charvona was really Eliyahu. Charvona, when he basically exposes Haman and gets Ahasuerus to kill Haman, that Charvona was really Eliyahu dressed up as one of the eunuchs of Ahasuerus. So that's a real actual transformation over there, which I guess connects to the actual transformations that we do when we get dressed up. So these are kind of the sources, and you'll notice that none of them really go back that far. And the fact that this is such a diverse explanation indicates that it must have developed over time. It comes from somewhere, but we're not really sure where. And now we get into a halachic issue over here. So Rabbi Eliezer ben Shmuel of Metz, this is the Sefer Yoreim, Rabbi Eliezer, so this is old, this is from 1175. So he was concerned because he noticed that there was a trend amongst people to get dressed up in a certain type of costume. Okay, so this is 1,000 years ago. And people basically thought it was interesting or thought it was funny to cross-dress. What were they doing? They would see people wear women's clothing in a temporary way as a joke. And he says, this is difficult in my eyes. Now, the truth is over here, it's not clear if he's talking about on Purim or actually he might be talking about at a wedding. He used to do this at a wedding. They would dress up in funny clothing at a wedding as shtick. It was shtick. So one of the funny shticks that they would do is that the men would dress up as women. Maybe the women would get dressed up as men. I don't know if that would happen. And they thought it was funny. And the Sefer Yoreim, so this is very, very bad because this it says in the Torah, Lo tilbash gever simlat isha, a man shall not wear women's clothing. So it's a violation of an Isser Doraisa. So how could they do that? And the Shut Maharim Mintz. Now, I once gave this shiur at Shift Day, and people started laughing when I said his name. The Shut Maharim Mintz. Anybody know why they were laughing? Yoel, you probably know why they were laughing. No?
Not Mintz, Kilo Mintz juice?
No, no. Apparently, because I didn't emphasize the hay enough. And so when a yeshivish person says the name of the Sefer, they say the Maharim Mintz. The Maharim Mintz. Which apparently is a candy or a chocolate, Maharim Mintz or something like that. No?
Sorry.
I don't know. I thought it was a British candy or something. Maharim Mintz, or maybe it's a mint. It's the name of a certain mint. I don't know. Anyways, they wouldn't stop
to recognize it.
And why? And it turned out that it wasn't my American accent that was messing up. It was actually the name of the Sefer. Anyways, so the Maharim Mintz, this is a Rishon, a late, late, late Rishon from 15th century, from the 1400s. So he actually was defending this practice. He was talking about the practice of men getting dressed up as women on Purim. And he says, Bati litol schar sheyavo mechshara de mitzvah liten tam. He said, I want to give an explanation for why people are doing this. And it's interesting. He gives three different arguments for why it's okay. Okay? Now, the first one is the most difficult. He says, you know what? If chas v'shalom, there was a nidnud avera, they would never do it. The rabbis would never let them do it. But we see that they do it all the time and nobody stops them. Now, make of this what you will. He basically is saying the fact that people do it means that it's okay. But people do all kinds of things that are not okay, and rabbis sometimes let them and they're not okay. So it's an interesting argument to be made, but that's the argument that he makes at first. His second argument is he says, I think what's going on is that it turns out that the Isur itself of getting dressed up as a woman is only a problem when people are going to mistake you for a woman, right? He says, if the point is to, you know, make yourself beautiful and to get, you know, get a haircut and to shave so that you're going to look beautiful like a woman looks beautiful, that's a problem. But this is not what's going on over here. What's going on over here is that they're getting dressed up to make fun, to have a good time. So that's not going to be a problem.
If you've got a beard and payas and wearing a dress, nobody's going to think you're a woman.
That's fair. And then his third argument, he says, no, on Purim, all bets are off. We see that Purim, there are special heterin that get you out of certain things. And he says, for example, we see that on Purim, if a person does damages, right? If a person does damages, then he doesn't necessarily have to pay for it. And we see that on Purim, people play practical jokes and pranks. They steal from each other as a joke. And it's okay because it's Purim. And so he says, therefore, we see that sometimes to do things that are a little bit outside the lines, it's okay because it's Purim. Those are the three arguments that he makes. Now, the Shulchan Aruch, when he quotes this, So he doesn't actually quote it. The Ramah makes an interesting comment. The Ramah in Yoredeya. So this is not in the context of Purim. The Ramah says about the Isur of getting dressed up as a woman. He says, Afilu be'achad min ha-begadim, Asur. The Ramah is very machmir. He actually quotes the Beit Yosef. He's quoting Rav Yosef Karo himself, who says that you're not even allowed to wear a single garment of a woman. So even if you're dressed completely normal, but you're wearing a skirt, and my father can tell some stories from the public school that he taught at, even if you're wearing completely men's clothing, but just one article of clothing on a woman, that's lo tilbash gever simat isha. That's a violation of the Isra, according to the Ramah. Which makes it startling when you look in Shulchan Aruch, in Or HaChaim, in Hilchos Purim, the Ramah himself, the very, very same Ramah, the same Rav Moshe Isserles, says, Mashen algu lobosh partzufim bepurim, the gever lobesh simat isha, v'ishach v'gever, ein yisur b'davar me'achar she'ein v'chavnim ela simcha ba'olma. He says, there's no problem on Purim, because they're just doing it the simcha ba'olma. And he even says even more, v'chein b'l'vishat kil'ayim d'rabanan. He says, even if you wear kil'ayim d'rabanan, I don't want to go into now how you can have kil'ayim d'rabanan. He says, that's also not a problem. And he says, yesh omrim da'aser, there are those that are oser, aval ha-minhag kisvar rishona. But the minhag is to be mekel. Okay.
It's not a contradiction.
Controversial or contradiction?
Contradiction.
Good. So it does sound like a contradiction. So what do you do when you have a contradiction? So when you want to understand the Shulchan Aruch properly, right? Sometimes you read a Shulchan Aruch and you're not sure, what is he really saying? So what's the proper way to deal with that? Where should you look if you're not sure what the Shulchan Aruch is really saying? What's the right sefer to look in?
The
Shulchan Aruch writes very short statements, right? He just writes mutter, aser. So if you want to expand on what the Shulchan Aruch might mean, what sefer makes sense to look at?
Beit Yosef.
The Beit Yosef, exactly, the Beit Yosef, which is his original book, right? That was the book where he wrote what he really thinks, bimlo'o, like in full volume. The Shulchan Aruch is just the digest of that. So what do you do if you're not sure about the Ramah? So the Ramah had a similar book. He wrote, the Ramah was like writing in parallel with the Shulchan Aruch. He was just one step behind all the time. So at the time that the Beit Yosef was writing the Beit Yosef, the Ramah was writing a sefer called the Darkei Moshe. There's a Darkei Moshe Ha'aruch, a Darkei Moshe Ha'katar, and it's also basically a commentary on the Torah, where he writes down the Ashkenazi approaches to certain issues. So if we want to understand the Ramah, we look in the Darkei Moshe. And the Darkei Moshe, he quotes these sources. He says, Kat of Ma'ari Mintz, he quotes the Ma'ari Mintz that we saw before, that that it's okay to dress up as a woman on Purim, and the Merag HaPashut, is that they do that and people don't fight him about it. And he says there's no problem below Yulbash, the Nimtza B'Shem here. He continues, this is the whole thing. He focuses on the fact that because of Simchat Purim, there's no problem of the Isra of Lo Yulbash. Basically sounds like we circumvent the Isra D'Araisa with the Simcha of Purim, which is hard to understand, but that's what he seems to say.
It sounds like there's a hierarchy where Simchat Purim is higher than the Lo Tilbash.
Yeah, which sounds strange, because Lo Tilbash is an Isra D'Araisa, so how could that be? Right?
Exactly, so, yes.
So he says, he says, you know, it really does seem like it should be aser, but we see that the minhag is pashut. The minhag is that people do it. And so I want to be miyashiv the minhag and say that it's okay. And then he writes, one second. Yeah. So he writes that if the purpose of your dressing up that way is actually to hide yourself, you're not wearing it as clothing, you're wearing it as costume, right? He says you're wearing it as costume, not as clothing, and that's not going to violate the Isser of Lo Tilbash Gever Simat Isha. The Isser of Lo Tilbash Gever Simat Isha is an Isser of wearing women's clothing. But here you're not wearing women's clothing, you're disguising yourself in women's clothing so that people won't know who you are. And he says, and that's why it's okay on Purim. Nevertheless, at the end, he says, Tov lachmir, lavodat Hashem b'simcha, v'liyot gila b'rada. He says, you know, it's better to be machmir and not to do this. Nevertheless, as we saw, the Rama says the minhag is kisvara rishona. It would be interesting to do a study of the Rama when he says aval minhag. Are there other places where it could be that he really disapproves of the minhag, but acknowledges that that is the minhag? Or is it sometimes, no, he's saying that the minhag, this is the right thing to do. Because over here, it seems, based on the Darkei Moshe, that he really doesn't think it's the best thing, but he's going to justify it based on the Maharim mitz. Now, the Bach didn't feel the need to justify it. He says he thinks that the Maharim mitz is far-fetched, doesn't make sense. And he thinks that must be the Maharim mitz didn't have the Sefer Yerayim. If he had the Sefer Yerayim, he wouldn't have said what he said. He would have been Machmir. And the Bach says there are plenty of ways to rejoice with the bride and a groom and on Purim without transgressing the prohibition of cross-dressing. Why do you have to do this? And he says, no way that he meant this. And he says, you want to compare this to stealing on Purim or to the damages that take place? He says, no way. The stealing on Purim, that's because the rabbis have the right. They have something called Hefker Beit Din Hefker. They have the right to control monetary issues, whether it's damages, whether it's stealing. The rabbis have kind of a superpower that they can say, you know what, we're transferring the ownership of this to that person. That's a special power they have. But they don't have any power with regards to Lotu Bash Geva Simat Isha. That is not within their purview. So there's no comparison to be made. And anyways, he says, you know, men will mingle with the women. And there are all kinds of things that are going to happen that are not Sanua, which was Be'etzem the problem of Lotu Bash Geva Simat Isha. So that's a problem. And then he says, but nevertheless, we can't say about this mutav shiyushogin. He says, if you know that the people aren't going to listen to you as the rabbi, then it's better not to say anything, but you really shouldn't do it. Okay, fine. The Mishnah Brura mentions on this, he says, we should really, he quotes the Bach who says we should be mevatel this. And then he says, but if it's just one article of clothing, interesting, a callback to the Rama, he says, if it's just one article of clothing and it's clear that the person is really a man and it's not a woman, then maybe we don't have to argue with him. He quotes the Prima Gadim. He says, then in those cases, you don't have to come out against it. But he quotes even others, the Knesset Agdola and the Shla, who say not to do it. But the Mishnah Berurah basically says that if the costume consists only of one thing, so I know that in yeshivish circles, sometimes they wear a sheitel or something like that. The problem is that in our circles, nobody's satisfied with one article of clothing. In our circles, when people get dressed up as a woman, they get dressed up as a woman. They do it the whole thing. That's the point of the costume. The point of costume is to be convincing. So the Mishnah Berurah would not approve. You know who else would not approve? The Aruch HaShulchan. When both the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan don't approve, you're in trouble. The Aruch HaShulchan says, you know, maybe in those days they used to do this, but nowadays it's not appropriate to do this. And the Rama was only justifying the old minhag to do this, but not, he wasn't saying that you should continue to do this. It's a little bit hard to understand that. The Rama seems to be saying this is the minhag. And I don't know what the reality was in the Aruch HaShulchan's day, but it sounds like his whole argument is lo nahagu kein. This is not the way to do it. But if the minhag is to do it, then is he saying that that's okay? It's not clear.
When did the Aruch HaShulchan live?
He lived in the 19th century. He lived at the same time as the Mishnah Berurah. If you fast forward, so in the last 50 years, I guess you'd say. So I have a few tshuvas over here. One of them is from Rav Avadia Yosef. One of them is from Rav Yosef Nassas. So we get a little bit of the Sephardi flavor. The Sephardim are also not fans. Rav Avadia Yosef thinks it's a terrible idea. And he says, you shouldn't even allow children to get dressed up like this. It's Chanoch Lenar Al Pi Darko. Gam ki yazkin lo yasur mimena. You know, this is a terrible chinuch. You dress little kids up as girls and dress up little girls as boys. What are you teaching them? It's terrible chinuch. That's what he says. Rav Yosef Masas also, he says that's a terrible thing. And he says he knows stories where men dressed up as women and it led to terrible things happening because the women couldn't identify the men and the men couldn't identify the women and people got confused and actual Isuri Daraisa were violated, and he really, really doesn't like this. It quotes in the Dirshah Mishnah Berurah, quotes unsurprisingly from Rav Yaakov Kanievsky, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, the Chazon Ish that they were against it. The Chazon Ish was very against when somebody came to him with a child that was the age of 4 or 5, it says, and the child was dressed up as a girl. The boy was dressed up as a girl. He said, "This is chinuch. What are you doing? This is terrible." So I don't know if you came to the shir hoping to find a heter, but I couldn't find any. So I wish I could find at least one so we could justify it. But in my personal opinion, and when I was in yeshiva, I remember there were at least 4 or 5 boys who dressed up as women in what was supposed to be very convincing costumes. And the rabbis didn't stop them, but they made fun of them. You know, they tried to indicate it that they didn't like it, but there was nothing they could do to stop them. And I have to say, you know, sometimes I come to shul and I see the men dressed up as women, and sometimes it's, I don't know, sometimes it's just a t-shirt, sometimes it's, I don't know. I don't think it's beruach the chag, and I don't think that it's good chinuch at all. It doesn't make any sense to me sometimes the way that people dress like that. And that's my personal take. And I'll be honest, I couldn't find anything, nothing, not a thing that would justify the kinds of costumes that men come dressed in. I'm open to hearing it if anybody's ever heard different.
I would like to just clarify your position. When you say you're not a big fan, is what it seems to me. Are you talking about a man dressing from head to toe as a woman? Or you mean just one object, like just putting on a sheitel or a woman's hat or
I think when a man puts on one article of clothing from a woman, and it's clear that, as I said before, it's clear that it's being worn as a costume, right? As in like, haha, look at this, and then, you know, and then the joke is over. So a sheitel, right? It, you know, makes you look twice, and then that's it. Then that's, you know, it's permissible. I don't know what the point of it is, but it's permissible. But sometimes you see people go, you know, invest a lot into the costume, and it's usually in poor taste.
Rabbi.
Yeah, go ahead, Jake.
This is specifically about Beged Isha and across genders. Is there an extension? Like, I have a family member that doesn't let Santa Claus on the Coke bottle. You couldn't dress up as a pig. You couldn't have a non-kosher pet, for example.
Right.
Is this just because of this one issue, or is this something to do with a broader stream of issues?
Right. So no, that's a great question. That's another thing that I wanted to, I wish I could find more sources on this. I found one or two. Obviously, when you go in that direction, you know, unless you go in a complete Avodah Zarah direction, which I don't think Santa Claus qualifies, as long as you stay away from any Isurim, then you at least don't have an Isur Daraisa, right? With Lo Tilbash Gevurah Latisha, then you're really treading on an Isur Daraisa. If you dress up as Pac-Man, or you dress up as a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, then, you know, you're having fun. Whether or not it's in the spirit of Purim is up for anybody's, you know, guess. It creates happiness, so I guess there's that. Whether it's in the spirit of the original, whatever the original minag was of getting dressed up on Purim, it doesn't seem like it fits it. You know, whether it was dressed up on Purim to remind ourselves of the Rush, whether it was to remind us of Hashem hiding himself, you know, it doesn't seem to fit in, but you're obviously not going to be treading on anything usser. But then there are some inappropriate costumes. Over here, the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah quotes Rav Chaim Kanievsky. He says, you know, and this is, you know, I guess this is the least inappropriate of inappropriate costumes. What if somebody wanted to dress up as Achashverosh or Haman? So it's a Jewish costume, but it's like, you know, it's an evil person. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky says, even though it's mutter, it's not right to do it. Why would you dress up as a Russia? And he says, L'lbosh tachposet shel avodah zarah kegon tachposet shel komer. So that Rabbi Yashiv thinks that this is, you know, there's a connection to Isser of Avodah Zarah. So that's a serious problem. So, you know, there's the costumes that are in between, which are kind of innocuous, which are gimmicky, that I think our community likes to, that's the most prevalent thing. You know, we come up with fun things. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And if it creates joy, then great. But then there's costumes that border on inappropriateness. You talk about Santa Claus. I don't know. It's Kabuli. But I can't say that there's anything, you know, pro forma, anything wrong with it. It's not, I don't think it's a avodah zarah, Santa Claus, because it's, I mean, it was invented by the Coca-Cola company. So I don't think they have the ability to create a avodah zarah.
Yeah, but so I'm just trying to get at the idea of, it's not as if anyone who dresses in a costume really thinks that that's a costume. Those stories are just to scare you off. But no one really thinks that you're going to start dressing that way. No one thinks that because you dress up as a pig, you are going to start eating pig. It's just another fence. Or you're saying, no, you're, whatever you do in costume, it's as if you're going to take on those behaviors for real.
Like, no, I don't think anybody says whatever you do in costume, you're going to take on those behaviors for real. I mean, maybe from a chinuch perspective, for a child, you might think that way. Meaning if a child, you know, wants to dress up as, I don't know. I was going to say Voldemort, but like, I mean,
how about
for a
Spider-Man?
It could matter. You know, you have to think about it from a chinuch perspective, but that's up to a parent. That's to decide, you know, is this good chinuch or not? But Jake, I would say, you know, we should examine ourselves as a community and maybe be a little bit more serious about our fun, I guess I would say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, a little more thoughtful.
There was a child I knew once who used to dress up as Spider-Man all the time.
Spider-Man's a hero. Spider-Man is very...
I think it's a crossbreed. It's shotness because you're mixing two different species. I don't think it's good.
No, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says there's no, that genetic engineering is not Kilayim. Yeah, no, Jake, I hear the concern, you know, are the rabbis just trying to tamp down on the fun? No, I think they don't. I think they're not, because at the end of the day, ein mochin b'yadam. You know, we're not going to stop that kind of thing. But on the other end, you know, if you can come up with a costume that's not going to offend people's sensibilities, then matov manaim.
Well, I think that there's always the goal of costume is to push the envelope. Otherwise, it's just benign. So. It seems like maybe it's my character, but in any event, there's obviously something very particular about cross-dressing.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's a technical issue. There's a technical prohibition, which may or may not be related to the actual concern for pritzut that could come out of it. That's, you know, if we were talking about giving a shiur about cross-dressing, then we would get into it. But I don't want to get into Tamei Mitzvot right now. Just talk about it on the face of it. You know, there is absolutely an issur on the books, and the majority of the late Achronim don't think there's any reason to relax the prohibition on Purim, even though the Ramah says that the minhag was that way.
That when you talk about Santa Claus, even though it's not an avodah zarah, isn't there also something, lo telchu acharei, finish that sentence for me.
B'chukoteim lo telechu. Sure.
That's the one.
Yeah, I mean, no, there is something.
I remember seeing someone dressed as Santa Claus once on Purim in shul.
Yeah.
And I was a bit taken aback. I didn't think it was totally appropriate.
Right. Yeah, I agree. That's why I agree. I personally don't think Santa Claus is an appropriate costume for Purim, but I don't think it's a avodah zarah necessarily. Whereas I think, if I remember correctly, I'm not sure, but I think a person when I was in high school came to school with a cross, I think, but I'm not sure if I remember that correctly. I don't remember what the teachers did. I don't remember. I personally dressed up as Braveheart. Which I guess, I mean, I was 18, but...
That doesn't qualify as a skirt.
I was wearing a kilt, but I was wearing shorts underneath. And I won the costume contest, but that's a different story.
Did you have the bagpipes?
I didn't have a bagpipe. I had a sword, I had a wig, and I had a kilt. And I did the whole speech in front of the whole school. and I won the contest. That was my that was my coming out party at in high school. I don't know what that means.